Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
So the update from Los Angeles, and first of all, from our area, we have members of the Red Cross, American Red Cross, from New Jersey, Pennsylvania. They're headed this morning, and they're headed to help out with the fires in L.A. We know that at least 5 people are dead, many more injured. We don't even have the final numbers on this, as multiple fires have broken out across Southern California amid this historically dry, very windy conditions, not usual this time of year. We have thousands of firefighters who are fighting at least 5 of these major wildfires dotted around the LA area and several smaller blazes. And I believe the latest one that we heard about last night and overnight, what with the regard to the wildfire emergency in Southern California, was including one in the Hollywood Hills. If you picture where that famous Hollywood sign is. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't burn, but certainly it's being threatened. 2,000 homes and counting, and they're saying that's an underestimate.
Yes.
Have already been destroyed. 400,000+. Is this your big take?
No. We're gonna go deeper into this at 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are all of the headlines. Humanitarian crisis, and we'll get into it. As far as what the mayor said or didn't say was shocking, and then just the celebrities coming out. I know Ben Affleck, Rich Zioli will not be happy about this, but Ben Affleck, his home did burn.
Oh.
The bad Batman.
Did J-Lo set it on fire? Or was it the wildfires? I think I saw of the 5 different pockets or these 5 different areas that you're talking about, 3 of the 5 are 0% contained. 1 of them is 10% contained. And then the best case is the one that is 40% contained.
It's just, I don't know. It's like last night I fell asleep on the couch watching it.
I was glued to the TV for
too.
Like 90 minutes just watching it last night.
And fell asleep. And then I think at that point I had Fox Hannity came on, fell asleep, and then woke up at 2:30 this morning.
Well, that's what Hannity does. He does put people to sleep. Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I know. You know. So we have that going on. And
it's hard to believe. Think about this. Only 5 people confirmed at this point to have died in this historic fire. Like, that's like unbelievably good in a sad, tragic, twisted way, that only 5 people have died that we know of.
And I think that's a credit to law enforcement and all of those firefighters. And we'll get in. I know it's 6:30. We'll get into all of this because some revelations have come forth as far as what was being prioritized in their budget. The cuts,
yep.
The fact that they had so many budget cuts, $17+ million cut out of the firefighters' budget. And so all of that, we'll get into it. I know we'll get into that, but you're right. I think that's a credit just to the actual individuals who have been warning people to say, get out, mm-hmm. evacuate. People heeded the warnings.
Yep.
Closer to home, we have Pennsylvania State Police, and this is after a lengthy investigation. They've now charged this former Chester County student teacher after he allegedly secretly recorded members of the wrestling team as they were showering. Ew.
Mm.
So investigators say they allege that this 34-year-old, identified by authorities as Samuel Fisher, was caught by a high school student there at Owen J. Roberts High School. And this happened 1 year ago. This was January of 23. So this guy was the student teacher, immediately fired, according to police, confessed, and they escorted him off the property. So we're learning more about this. He only worked at the school for a few days at that point, was charged last week with multiple counts of sexual abuse of children, as well as an invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another charge.
Yep. Sounds like a, loosely speaking here, a Jerry Sandusky situation from Penn State from all of those years ago. It's unbelievable.
Well, and Sandusky technically had a charity, was allowed to use the facilities.
Yeah.
So he was not employed at that time. This guy, though, a student teacher
yep.
at the school, mm-hmm. an employee, granted, only there a few days.
Yep. Well, his shower time in the joint's going to be very interesting. We'll put it that way.
So, the superintendent is very concerning, obviously. It was they did an extensive investigation. The disturbing piece of this, I'll just point out, it was discovered that he's accused of being engaged in very similar behavior while working as an athletic trainer at a different school district, Pine Richland School District in Allegheny County between 2014 to 2019. And so the question here by parents and officials and so on is, usually your background check, you should have shown up. What's going on here?
Who the hell's vetting this guy? Right?
So, and that's the concern, I think, by the authorities and certainly by parents.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank God for the one student who immediately did the right thing, came forth, told the right, authorities, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But this suspect now faces charges in both Chester as well as Allegheny counties. We'll obviously keep you posted on that one. So another developing story this morning, and this is about a vessel. The work continues to free this huge cargo ship from the Bahamas, ran aground in the middle of the Delaware River overnight last night into this morning. So it's stuck just north of the Ben Franklin Bridge. And you can see, I'm talking about Philadelphia's Fishtown section. So it's roughly between Penn Treaty Park and Petty Island. And the vessel's name is Algoma Verity. Is a Supermax self-unloading bulk carrier, 623 feet long. It's stuck. And so there are tracking websites that report the ship left the port in Philadelphia 5:30 p.m. last night, was headed for Fairless Hills in Bucks County, got stuck. Fire Department, Philadelphia Fire Department, Marine Unit responding to the grounding, and that was within 90 minutes. It was grounded.
And you said just north of the Ben Franklin?
Yeah.
Man.
So tugboats, as I speak, are on the scene this morning. Coast Guard is working to refloat the ship so that it can move on its way. So they've been figuring this out.
Well,
kind of a crazy situation.
Oh, no.
I know we have a lot in the world of sports. This is exciting as far. I know everybody's talking about the Eagles and the practice yesterday.
Eagles!
But the exciting thing, we are Penn State tonight, baby.
Yeah, right here.
This is exciting.
Notre Dame, Penn State. Oh, Delco's going to be on fire tonight, baby.
Oh,
starting 7 p.m., you can hear it right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah.
You can hear all the coverage.
I've branded this game as the Catholics against the cult.
Remember, by the way, for all these Johnny-come-latelys, we are the home of Penn State football.
Okay. There you go.
We are the home of Penn State football.
Yeah.
No other radio station. We are the home of Penn State football.
Yeah.
We are, Greg Stocker.
Give us the credit.
We are. So we got that going for us, which is nice. And I'm trying to look up my sports report, and I apologize. There's a lot going on in the world of sports. We have... What's the Sixers score?
They almost lost to the worst team.
I know.
Basically, the Washington Wizards should be playing the Harlem Globetrotters, I think, because
they should be contracted.
Yeah,
but we at least won.
Barely.
Yeah. But the Sixers have done a nice job getting back. I mean, they're only a game now out of the playoffs, so to speak.
Yeah. Well,
so
I mean.
They'll be in there.
The NBA playoffs, sorry.
Well, yeah, it's low energy. I agree.
And do you know what the line is on tonight's
football game?
Bowl? Yeah.
Notre Dame is a two and a half point favorite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I do. I love the Irish tonight, baby.
Wow.
Oh, I love them. I'm going to get my shillelagh out. My poor Guinness. Yeah. I'm going to bury James Franklin on X when he loses another big game. I'm all ready.
We are going to win. Mm. Okay, and by the way, Eagles, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I agree with that.
Right?
I agree with that, yeah. I said that like two months ago on the show. I said they're going to go into Detroit and beat the Lions on the road.
Woo!
Said that back in like Thanksgiving-ish.
You can't wait for that.
Yeah.
The final thing I'll say, because we got to get to the big take, but the final thing I will say here is that remember that today is officially all government offices closed. because this has been declared as a national day of mourning. This has to do, obviously, with
why tributes. Are we here?
Well,
yeah.
Are we flying the Kale and Company flag at half mast?
I need to mourn.
Yeah, I do too. Pay my respects to Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
That's right. Not Jimmy Kelly.
So it's and Trump will be attending the funeral.
Well, he was
that's
at.
That's going to be pretty
right?
awkward.
Their last name with Melania, right?
Mm-hmm. He was there that's last. Okay. Phil, do you have that? Do you have that video? Since we're kind of all over the place here,
Jimmy.
Excuse me.
No, I know.
Trump. Was it awkward?
Trump and Melania. No, it was. Okay. You could see they gave some like reaction to the you know when Trump and Melania walked in. I think it's cut 12, Phil. Yeah, roll it. You can see him coming in. It's always when you walk down there and everybody's looking at you.
I know.
And then you have to, you know, you stand there. Like, yeah. Obviously, he's paying his respects. Mm-hmm. If you can't watch right now on YouTube.
Right in front of the casket and the wreath.
Very respectful. He's wearing a purple tie and dark jacket. She's wearing a very deep midnight blue.
I'm sure.
Very David Muir tight as well.
I'm sure the press is upset he didn't come out and be like, I like presidents who don't die, okay?
Yeah. I would have lived to be 101.
Melania going blonder and blonder.
I was going to say, did her hair look lighter to you?
She's naturally a brunette, like me, but I had highlights for the Mummers Parade.
Did you?
I did. I got like little highlights, but she went from the highlights to she's getting blonder and blonder.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
She looks amazing, whatever.
Well, yeah.
However she wears her hair. But just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
Very respectful.
But notice they show all the like the reaction
mm-hmm.
to people like
any other president in
crowd
reaction. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how?
And then he turns to her, how, and then they hold hands.
How long is the appropriate? How long is the appropriate time to sit there and you know?
That was it.
Pay your respects.
Yeah. 30 seconds, maybe. Yeah.
You can see in Trump's head, he goes, how much longer do you think we have to stay?
I got a tea time in 9 minutes.
Well, no, because they also know that everything stops. Remember when, what was this with, was it McCain with Obama?
Yeah.
And they were late, and so everybody was outside. Everything stops because of security.
Yeah.
So they're also cognizant of that, right?
That's the most awkward setting in all of life, paying your respects to somebody that's dead, buried, and gone in a casket. I still get weird. Like when I go to my mom's cemetery, maybe 3 times a year, you know, I do the little wreath thing around the holidays. You know that whole song and dance. Like it's just Nick. My sister's all about it, and I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll come by. Yeah.
But it's nice. It's think about it. He was the 39th president. Trump is 45 and 47.
Yeah.
But not many people are in this club, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I think it's great that we celebrate our presidents.
Oh, yeah.
Not many of them.
Yeah. No, I think that's one thing we get right at the end of the day, even when you see a president that you thought was terrible or you disagreed with or you voted against. And, you know, we have our moments and then, you know, we come together and, you know, pay our respects and then get back to slandering them the next day.
I think history looks back on Jimmy Carter as I think it's unquestionably he was probably one of the worst presidents ever.
Yeah.
But his post presidency
His post presidency and the fact that he was just like a really good guy.
Right.
I think outweighs everything. I think universally anybody, whether they're left, right, whatever, can say that.
Yeah, right? I think most people realize that he was almost such a good guy that he just didn't have kind of the required, I don't know if it's killer instinct, the tough mentality to be, you know, a great president, because you do have to have a strong backbone, so to speak, because you know you're going to get skewered by one side or the other, right?
Yeah.
Created a lot of bureaucracy, Department of Energy, Department of Education.
Well, destroyed education. I mean, we create that in, 1979, and we go from number one to number 42.
He was the president when I was born. Thank you very much.
Well, then that was a great. Then there's
thank you
to
very
celebrate.
Much. Thank you. Yeah. Very much.
All right,
there you go.
So we talked about Penn State v Notre Dame, and that's the Orange Bowl matchup for this evening. Villanova men pulled off a home upset against number 9 UConn. That was 68-66. That's the Big East matchup.
Wow, I'm surprised. Salmon. I'm surprised Phil came in today. UConn lost. I'm surprised he's not mourning today.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Not a good, yeah, he's got the Jets, he's got the UConn, it's like losers. LaSalle men dropped their conference matchup against Loyola in Chicago, 79-68. And former Eagles receiver DeSean Jackson is Delaware State's new football coach. Congratulations.
I saw that. DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick in the last month becoming college football head coaches.
Wow.
Different time, different landscape.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So we got that going on, which is nice. We have our sponsor, Meineke. When you step on your brakes, are you hearing a little of that squeal or maybe a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians are going to diagnose the problem. Find that location nearest you, Meineke.com, M-E-I-N-E-K-E, Meineke.com. Hill & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Plenty on the California wildfires coming up shortly, but first, a Thursday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take, DEI, race, and identity politics. It has been over 2 months since the election, and in the early going, it appears that the Democrats and the dying legacy media still haven't learned anything. Yesterday on the show, we talked about Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman and how based he has been in his political logic. And I'm of the belief that in 2028, someone like a Fetterman will be the biggest challenger to MAGA and the Republican Party. Greg Stocker said yesterday that he believes Democrats will continue to dig in, double down, and keep their progressive push alive into the future. Time will tell. But one thing is for sure, corporate America is ditching DEI, and they are returning to merit-based decision-making. But that doesn't mean that in other American institutions, things like the race card and identity politics will go down silently. But was 2024 the year that DEI fell apart? Well, the New York Post believes so, writing the following. Diversity, equity, and inclusion policies faced increased scrutiny in 2024, leading to at least 15 major U.S. corporations and hundreds of universities to roll back these commitments once viewed as innocuous. Companies that have ditched DEI in the last calendar year include Ford, Coors, Lowe's, Nissan, Boeing, Toyota, Walmart, Caterpillar, Craftsman, John Deere, Jack Daniels, Tractor Supply, Black & Decker, Harley Davidson, and now even McDonald's. Robbie Starbuck, conservative activist, said the following, quote, "I think it was inevitable in 2020. A lot of executives bought into this whole idea and concept of DEI just because they didn't want to be seen as racist. A lot of them had no concept or understanding of what it was going to turn into." The Post also continues saying American Airlines has become the latest U.S. company to agree to leave behind its diversity hiring practices this month after facing a legal complaint from watchdog organization America First Legal. AFL said the following, quote, "The airline acknowledged that recruiting and hiring based on diversity, equity, and inclusion violates federal laws and also equal employment opportunities." This comes after the summer of 2023, where, if you recall, in late June, and we talked about this on the show, SCOTUS ended affirmative action in college admissions, deeming it unconstitutional. But McDonald's, how about that? McDonald's is the peak of American companies. Nothing screams Americana more than Mickey D's. It's Trump's favorite food. They are the latest to dump DEI. The company stating the following, quote, "Hiring. They will end their diversity goals for how many of each race they hire. And they will also no longer participate in the HRC's Corporate Equality Index." We call those the CEI scores, which is the scoring system that forces the trans agenda, one of the biggest lobbyists in this country, into the workplace in exchange for a perfect social credit score, end quote. However, the Hollywood elites, they appear to be confirming what Stocker believes, that the left-wing era won't be scrubbed by the Democrats anytime soon. Actor John Cryer was on the Club Random podcast with Bill Maher, and things got spirited. Listen and watch this.
You don't want to talk about politics at all.
Well,
I shouldn't, because I really started this podcast to get away from it. So you're right. I kind of f***ed up.
Yes.
But I don't know. Sometimes people say things that trigger me.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we just had the election. And I feel like my conscience is very clear. I warned everybody about Trump. And then I warned them about what would get him reelected, which was stupid wokeness, which is what got him reelected. So I feel my conscience is very clear that I told you and I told you and I told you, and I lost fans for it. You know, lots of the super woke that like, I'm not woke enough for them. Yeah. But like, I think I had it right. Like that kind of stuff is what lost the election for the Democrats. It's in all.
Maybe part of it. I don't know. I think a lot.
They have polling on it.
I think it's inflation. I think Americans hate inflation.
That certainly was
they hate inflation.
It.
They hate riots, and they hate black women.
They don't.
And they hate trans people.
Oh God, John, we're not.
Dude,
gonna...
they just spent hundreds of millions.
They
of dollars
don't hate
demonizing
black...
trans people, and that's disgusting.
Yeah,
that
we shouldn't talk politics.
Okay, we shouldn't.
This is...
Great. We don't have to.
No. And this, you know, I mean, I have this kind of relationship with people on the right also who like. Yeah, it's just going to take so long to even have this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to deprogram them. I feel like there's things that don't get in your bubble on the left that I would love to deprogram, but it's probably not the place to do it.
You can try. if that's how you want to spend your leisure hours.
No, I mean,
deprogramming Ducky.
Cry harder, John, but don't ever change. And I really mean that. I want Democrats to continue down this path because it's the path of least resistance for the Republican Party moving forward. If you don't change your game plan, it'll be victory after victory after victory. But speaking of Bill Maher, he slammed the left again in a recent Wall Street Journal interview saying, quote, "You're damn right I slam crazy leftists because you give me more material. I'm a comedian. I'm going to go where the gold is." I think humor is one of the best avenues to get at the truth, maybe the best, especially in politics. This is one of the issues I have with the left. They can't stand to have to endure a moment of hearing something they don't already agree with, end quote. And perhaps comedians like Michelle Buteau, hopefully I got that name correct, should take notes on Bill's commentary, since she recently blasted the great Dave Chappelle for making money off of, quote, not funny and dangerous jokes about the transgender community in his Netflix specials. Michelle saying, quote, "Dave, it's not funny. It's dangerous. I can't believe somebody would make millions and millions of dollars for making people feel unsafe. That is so wild to me, truly," end quote. Hey, Michelle, it's called comedy, capitalism, and free speech. If you don't like it, don't consume the content. If you hate America, then see yourself out. And speaking of the LGBTQ community, the Philadelphia Inquirer with a story 4 days ago with the headline, quote, "The queer people who are buying guns to protect themselves and prepare for Trump's America," end quote. Kudos to queer people out there taking advantage of what the Second Amendment affords all Americans, the right to bear arms. Although your motives are misguided and ill-informed, you're probably going to need that firearm for your safety and security from the lawless hellhole of Philadelphia created by people like District Attorney Larry Krasner, much more than anything that'll occur in Trump's America. But the lunatic ideologies will never be 100% eradicated. That was one example. Here are two more. It's been a while since we heard about crazy stories from the Ivy League universities, right? But this is a hell of a way to kick off 2025 with a bang. Headline, "Yale University class questions whether black and white women can be friends." No, this is not parody. This is an actual class for college credits in the Ivy Leagues, although the Ivy Leagues these days are the embodiment of parody. And I'm pretty sure that black and white women can be friends. I don't know, just one example, Dawn Stensland and Kathy Barnett. Why is academia so hell-bent on division with race? Because it seems pretty simple to me. How do people become friends in this lifetime? It's usually one of two things, right? One of two things. Do you have something in common with the other person? And is that person a good person? If so, friendships are usually formed, whether or not you're white or black. But the left continues their grift and nothing bigger right now in America, and we'll delve deeper into this coming up shortly, than the wildfires in California that are plaguing the greater Los Angeles area. Stocker mentioned yesterday that if you were a 280-pound football player and you were stuck on the third floor of a burning building, would you want a big, strong dude to rescue you, or even a kick-ass female? Or would you want an unqualified, weak quota hire? Common sense says you want the qualified individual. But in Los Angeles, with the fire department, it's all about DEI with your dollars. Listen and watch this.
We are hosting our new employee orientation, and our focus is to teach our new employees for them to understand cultural competency, identify implicit and unconscious bias, and be aware of the importance of us having a diverse and inclusive workforce.
Diversity is important because the different people bring different lenses to their job, and those different ideas, those different lenses are important to have the best practices for our industry.
We have people here from hazmat, we have dispatchers in the room, we have people that are responsible for financial management, we have our information management division, and also from human resources. So we have a variety of professionals that are receiving this training. We teach people how to deal with conflict responsively, how to have challenging conversations, break down stereotypes, and learn more about cultural competence. And so we do this by working to advance equity throughout community partners and internal departments within Los Angeles County.
Cultural competence to put out fires? Break down stereotypes? How about focusing on breaking down hot doors and rescuing people? This psychobabble nonsense is beyond insane, and it has run its course. But then again, it's called the Left Coast for a reason. Trump, the Republican Party, and common sense American voters, they have done a great job swinging the pendulum back to normalcy and away from the lunacy, as 2024 has shown. But there is still plenty of work to be done in government, in schools, and in society. But I'm perfectly fine with the Democrat Party and the mainstream media continuing with their ill-advised losing methodologies. And that's the big take.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough. Just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Towards the
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back half, the back third of the big take there, that clip with DEI promotions and all of these absurd policies being implemented into the LA Fire Department in California over the last couple of years. And also some damning evidence that came out yesterday late in the evening, as there is a signed, sealed, delivered letterhead from December of 2024 from the Los Angeles Fire Department warning that this could happen. The Fire Chief of Los Angeles, Kristen Crowley, warned L.A. Mayor Karen Bass last month that the $17-plus million she cut from the department's budget, quote, severely limited the department's capacity to prepare for, train for, and respond to large-scale emergencies, including wildfires. And here we are. That was dated on December 17th, yesterday, January 8th, less than 3 weeks later, we see the most historic wildfires that California has ever dealt with. And there's a lot to talk about, a lot to react to. Maybe we could start with this. Phil, if you want to throw up the photo, K4, I believe, wow. and leave this.
Man.
Folks, that's not Chernobyl. That's California.
That's crazy.
That's Pacific Palisades. Say that's the greater LA area. It looks like it legitimately was hit with like a nuclear warhead.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's complete destruction, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing left.
No. Nope.
Which is like, what would that be equivalent to? Maybe the main line of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in a wealthy, you know, famous area. A lot of movie stars. A lot of executives.
Yep. Yep.
West of LA.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can get into some of the specifics. I've got the report about the $17.6 million. We can get into how all this money was redistributed and how bad it looks with some of the statistics. But some of just the general observations as we now look at the politics behind this and the failure of leaders. Why are Democrats, especially in places like L.A. and New York, where they tax the hell out of you, so bad at mismanaging crises when it comes to natural disasters? And you look in Florida, they deal with hurricanes all the time. You have guys like Ron DeSantis that have bridges rebuilt like in 3 days. And yet here in Los Angeles, where it's unbelievably expensive to live, what do you get for your money? And then when you look at the political leaders that are elected out on the West Coast, you have the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, who was in Ghana for the inauguration of the president of Ghana. Now, let me ask you a very pertinent question.
Pertinent.
Why in the world does the mayor of Los Angeles have to go to the inauguration of another president in another country? Can somebody explain that to me?
It's basically a junket. And so it's a free trip.
Free trip.
That's
cool.
That's what it is.
Great. I mean, I understand if the president of the United States goes for the inauguration of the president of Ghana or the vice president of the United States. But a mayor in a city, I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me. Then you have Joe Biden. And some of this we'll get to on the cut sheet. Some of this you'll hear. Some will just kind of headline right now before we delve deeper into this. You have Joe Biden, who's out there yesterday, makes it about himself, saying he just became a great-grandfather. Do you think anybody in Los Angeles cares about Joe becoming a great-grandfather as their $2.5 million home burns down to rubble? Probably not. Gavin Newsom, according to reports that I read from the Los Angeles Times, and I think also maybe it's the LA Daily News. I think there's two papers out there.
He was on with Anderson Cooper last night.
Yeah. And he apparently eliminated 4 dams during his tenure in California as the governor, which is ongoing, which according to the LA Times is the most of any politician of all time. And he apparently, the reasoning behind it was he cowtailed to Native Americans who wanted to preserve an endangered species of fish.
Fish. Yep.
Smelt.
Smelt.
So, smelt fish, yeah. So, you know, there's a natural order of things of how, you know, up from Canada, water runs, you know what I mean? Like there's, and they had that water redirected to the Pacific Ocean, which I don't think needs a ton of water. But because of that, you have all of these areas in Los Angeles and, you know, that area that are in droughts, really, because they're not getting enough water.
Yep.
All because of the smelt.
Governor Gavin Newsom, this is Trump on True Social yesterday, refused to sign the water restoration declaration, would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north, like Greg was pointing out here, to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. By the way, Trump calls him Newsom, but I think I said Newsom. Anyway, he goes on to say that that all of this is because Newsom, as he says, wanted to protect the smelt fish.
Yes, the smelt fish.
Phil, can you grab cut 15? Yeah, Trump, this is him at a press conference yesterday after he paid his respects to Jimmy Carter. This is cut 15, go.
And do you believe that federal aid should be provided to California for as long as it takes?
Well, it's very sad because I've been trying to get Gavin Newsom to allow water to come. You'd have tremendous water up there. They send it out to the Pacific because they're trying to protect a tiny little fish, which is in other areas, by the way, called the smelt. And for the sake of a smelt, they have no water. They had no water in the fire hydrants today in Los Angeles. It was a terrible thing. And we're going to get that done. It's going to finally be done. I got it done from the federal side.
and he didn't want to sign it, but it's not going to happen again like that. There's no reason. Can you imagine? You have farmers that don't have any water in California. They have plenty of water. They don't have a drought. They send it out to the Pacific, and it's crazy. So what's happening in California is a true tragedy. I know those areas very well. I have many friends living in those houses. That is a true tragedy. Nobody ever thought. I mean, virtually Beverly Hills and areas around Beverly Hills are being decimated. The biggest homes, some of the most valuable homes in the world are just destroyed. I don't even know. You know, you talk about a tax base. If those people leave, you're going to lose half your tax base of California. This is a true tragedy, and it's a mistake of the governor, and you could say the administration. They don't have any water. They didn't have water in the fire hydrants. They don't have water. And yet they have, the water comes from, you know where? Up north. And it comes down at levels. They get millions and millions of barrels of gallons of water that they have, and they send it out into the Pacific. For the Pacific, it's like a drop. It's nothing. But for California, we take care of the whole state. So what's happened is a tragedy, and the governor has not done a good job. With that being said, I got along well with him when he was governor. We worked together very well, and we would work together. I guess it looks like we're going to be the one having to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. But what happened there, I don't think there's anything that I've ever seen quite like it. And the insurance companies are going to have a big problem, because you're talking about big, big dollars.
And a lot of insurance companies ended policies with homes in the last couple of years out there. Phil, have K3 and K5 in just a moment before we wrap up the hour in about 5-10 minutes. But, I mean, you have water running out. And from what I gathered from the report last night from, I think it was Trace Gallagher might have been out there. Mm-hmm. He was saying they can't even fight these fires from above in the air. So they're forced to combat it to the best of their abilities on the ground. I mean, this is a disaster. And I've said that I think Gavin Newsom's got no chance in 2028. If he had a 5% chance 4 years from now to be president, I think his political future on the national stage is probably going to be sunk by this. And he's all but cooked now. But then I was thinking about this as this has become political, and I think rightfully so. Think about the way responses happen to disasters along party lines. Think about this current administration and what we've lived through the last 4 years. Joe Biden was out in Los Angeles yesterday within 24 hours of this, right? How long did it take for Joe to get to North Carolina this past fall after the hurricanes? I genuinely don't know that answer. If somebody wants to fact check and give us details, that would be great. How long did it take for Joe to get to East Palestine, Ohio, after the toxic train derailment? I'll wait on that answer as well. So if anybody can provide those answers, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I will say is, because it's easy to armchair quarterback it after the fact. So some people might say, especially if you're a hater of Trump's, that, well, it's easy for Trump to say what he just said in that clip yesterday that we played for you. He actually said this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. Phil, play this a little bit, and we'll dive out of it after we make the point here. This was K3, Trump warning about this in 2024.
They said, we have no water. I said, do you have a drought? No, we don't have a drought. I said, why don't you have no water? Because the water isn't allowed to flow down. It's got a natural flow from Canada all the way up north. Water, mm-hmm. More water than they could ever use. And in order to protect a tiny little fish, the water up north gets routed into the Pacific Ocean. Millions and millions of gallons of water gets poured. I could have water for all of that land. Water for your forests. You know, your forests are dry as a bone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Dangerous.
That water could be routed. You know, you could have everything.
All right, so that's good enough. You get the point. That was Trump on Joe Rogan's podcast. Dawn, your thoughts on this from the political side, whether you want to go with Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, Democrats in general. What's going through your mind right now?
Well, first of all, President Joe Biden, actually, you gave him too much credit, Nick.
Did I really?
You're trying to give him something. You're trying to give him a bone and give him credit for something. He was not there in response to the fire. He had a planned trip already.
Oh,
because
yes.
That's why he was there, to go to a farm worker community in Thermal on Tuesday.
Okay,
it was rerouted.
Yes,
his plane was rerouted because of the fires. Yes, I did see that on the other day. Yeah,
and so Gavin Newsom actually waited for him for like 2.5 hours.
Okay,
it's like the Coachella Valley. So Biden, this was like a whole planned thing. So he happened to be there, but he wasn't there for, you know what I mean? Like, to be the president, to go, you know, to your point earlier, okay, like, oh, I better go to East Palestine, or I better go to the South and mm-hmm. hurricane victims. That's not what this was.
Wow.
Although I will say, Hunter Biden's house that he's renting, I guess, burned.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Now, was that from Among the wildfires those... or a crack pipe?
From the wildfires. So the other piece of this is you see a very bad look for Democrats with the mayor. I know you'll get to the mayor. That is unbelievable that she was away. Then they try to question her and she's silent. But then the budget situation came out where she cut the $17.5 million from the L.A. Fire Department's budget. Mm-hmm. They were furious about it. They were warned about it. So when Gavin Newsom was being asked by that, and part of this was, which column on CNN, Anderson Cooper was asking him to respond to the Trump ripping into him. What about the budget? What about the mayor? Newsom was basically throwing the mayor and the, quote, local folks, as he called them, under the bus, saying, well, I'll leave that to the local folks. Anderson Cooper then says, well, what about President Trump, you know, ripping into you? He just was not going to comment.
Let's play that. That's cut 14, Phil, here. This is California Governor Gavin Newsom on responding or not responding to Trump.
Phase. We're in the public safety phase.
I hate to even ask this question, but the president-elect chose to attack you, blame you for this.
It's one can't even respond to it.
Why?
And it's, you know, people are literally fleeing. People have lost their lives. Kids lost their schools. Families completely torn asunder. Churches burned down. This guy wanted to politicize it. I have a lot of thoughts, and I know what I want to say. I won't. I stood next to a president of the United States of America today, and I was proud to be with Joe Biden, and he had the backs of every single person in this community. He didn't really play politics. Didn't try
to they burn?
Us.
Like, all Trump is trying to is making him accountable, saying,
yeah.
And the reaction that Anderson Cooper should have said is that Trump says when he, you know, on the 20th becomes president, he will work with you. But Trump says he's going to demand that, you know, to Greg's earlier point, that you make sure that the water's not diverted.
Right.
That you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of diverting, and if you want to jump in, you can certainly give us your thoughts. 855-839-1210. We'll take some calls after the news in the 7 o'clock hour. I also want to play you Karen Bass, who had nothing to say when grilled by Sky News yesterday about this upon returning from the inauguration of the new president of Ghana. But, I mean, think about this. Just yesterday, another couple hundred of millions of dollars were sent to Ukraine. I think it was $250 million was sent to Ukraine yesterday, but we don't have water in California to fight fires. That's where we are. So we'll continue. We'll get into this a little bit more. You'll hear from Karen Bass and what she did not have to say on the other side. We'll get to some news, your calls, and then the cut sheet coming up at 7:45. It's Kale and Company. Hour 2 is next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.